The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week 2019 title sponsor TechStars. At the core, TechStars is a company founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. With more than 300,000 alumni and 10,000 mentors across 150 countries, TechStars is a worldwide network that helps entrepreneurs succeed. To learn more, go to techstars.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. This is one of 20 interviews recorded in a pop-up backroom studio at Dojo 4 during the 10th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode 41 is Joe Minock, founder of Athlete Progress, a company building software to help sports clubs, teams, and private coaches clarify and expedite athlete feedback, measure individual and team progress over time, and understand efficacy of teaching concepts. Among many things, Joe and I get into the cultural changes he's noticed through his lifelong involvement in sports, why a multi-sport athlete tends to be a healthier, happier, more well-rounded person than a single-sport athlete, the payoffs that Athlete Progress delivers for players even when they're off the field, and what your child's sports team has in common with the 2002 Oakland A's. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Joe Minock of Athlete Progress. Your company, Athlete Progress, was inspired in part by the film Moneyball.
Yep.
Talk about the connection between those upstart 2002 Oakland Athletics and the Little League team down the street.
The inspiration's a little bit more loose than that. So I've been coaching athletics for 15 years, and in athletics, data is really important. And we do a really, really poor job of helping athletes understand what that data means and how that can help them improve. And so the whole idea with building Athlete Progress was I needed a better way to give my athletes feedback. And so the way that worked out was I built an application that took video from my iPhone and it delivered that video to them as quickly as I could get it to them. Now, where Moneyball comes in, the data side of it, everybody loves data. You look at applications like Strava and you see, especially in Boulder, guys out on their bikes on the weekend, full kit, hammering down who knows what road, hopefully safely. Sometimes not so much, you know, and they're competing against themselves and they're competing against others. Some days it works out, some days it doesn't. You know, sometimes you end up with a KOM, other times you end up looking at your results going, oh my God, I'm that slow. Now let's take that to other sports like ski racing. Ski racing is what I've been coaching for 15 years and we don't have a Strava. Most sports don't have a Strava or a KOM for that matter. And so what we've done is in the application, not only do we capture the video of the athlete performing whatever skill it is, we tag that skill. We tag all of the variables at play. So what are the conditions? What's the slope? You know, what are the things that impact the performance? And we provide that back to the athlete and, you know, as a performance dashboard. So they can now understand what is happening externally and what is happening internally that's impacting their performance. So not only do they see what they need to work on and, you know, how to improve that, but they're also able to, you know, step out and look at this bigger picture and understand, oh, you mean when I don't sleep well, or I don't eat well, or I'm doing poor in school, that has an impact on my athletic performance. And it does, it has a significant impact. But as a coach, there are a lot of times where we tell our athletes, hey, you know, we want you to train in this environment and get more experience there. It's easy for us to say that. It's hard to get them to do that, but when we can paint the picture as to why and the how, now they're willing to do it.
And are most of the athletes you're working with, are they on organized, highly competitive teams, or are there sort of more casual ski racers or whatever sport you're dealing with who just want to get better at it?
Athlete Progress has definitely started in alpine ski racing. We're looking at a number of sports outside of that. We're testing 5 or 6 different sports now. But to really simply answer that question, two words come into play: dedicated and committed. And those are the athletes that are going to excel on our platform as well as they would on most others, you know, that involve any form of data capture. We focus our efforts on working with the higher end ski clubs, soccer clubs, baseball clubs, basketball clubs, where you have athletes who are focused on taking it to that highest level. We are not looking at getting into the YMCA or high school athletics, middle school athletics, because there's too much variation from athlete to athlete in those programs. Our target audience, the athlete's parents, are investing in some cases thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars a year in that athlete's performance.
So you mentioned soccer and baseball. What are some of the other sports that you're looking to get into?
Rowing, equestrian. So actually I'll just list them all. Skiing, so alpine ski racing, baseball, soccer, rowing, equestrian. We've looked at rugby. We've also looked at CrossFit. But we're generally in those sports where there is a higher level of discretionary income at the family level. It's just the reality of our business. We're not an incredibly expensive platform by comparison to others. We have a free and a paid athlete profile, as well as a small fee that we charge to that club each month. And so we're helping them with more than just the education aspects. We're looking at logistics, so helping to plan practices and events. We're working on the operations side and supporting some of the registration operations and management of athletes and staff. So our ultimate goal is to get to a point to where we're helping clubs get the job done. And we like to say we want athletes to athlete, coaches to coach, parents to parent, and administrators to administrate. Give everybody the ability to do the best in their role.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that you've been involved in athletics all your life.
Yes. As a kid, I was a national record setter, speed skater, runner-up to national champion, and spent a lot of time traveling the country on speed skates. And then after I was done speed skating, I switched over to ski racing. I think I was about 14 when I started that. And I've had a pretty decent career there. I've coached ski racing for 15 years. So,
and have you noticed much change in the culture around sports through your time in it?
Yes, definitely. Over the years, I have noticed that we're taking sports much more seriously, which can be viewed as a good or a bad thing. Depends on which side of the paradigm you are. For athletes, I think it's an incredible opportunity and that parents are willing to make a major investment in the kids. But with that comes a lot of pressure. And so if we as coaches can be very realistic in terms of the message we provide to the athlete and the parent, we can help level that playing field a little bit, make it a little bit more fair for athletes, because not all athletes are going to become a professional athlete. But the neat thing is with sports the way they are today, a lot of athletes, whether they will ever achieve the professional level or not, are provided with every opportunity to do so. And it's really neat to see, even if an athlete isn't going to get to that level, it's really neat to see the levels that they do ultimately achieve because of the support that they're able to gain. Now, one negative that I have seen in terms of sports over the years is participation. The numbers are down. It's more expensive, a lot more expensive. A sport like ski racing, for example, to participate in the sport, just the equipment alone, you might be spending a couple $1,000s a season. And then there's the coaching, the club memberships, etc. It's not out of the realm of possibilities to spend in the range of, you know, multiple thousands of dollars, if not over $10,000. With some very high level clubs, you could be spending in the tens, 20s, 30s, thousands of dollars in a season. And that's for an athlete who might be 14 to 16 years old. So these sports are getting incredibly expensive. But, you know, one thing that always gives me a smile is when I'm riding my bike around Boulder or traveling around the country as I do, seeing kids out on a basketball court just playing a pickup game. Sport is still accessible and there's an opportunity for everybody. And I hope that through what we're building with Athlete Progress, that we can impact sport in such a way that each and every single one of those athletes has an opportunity to take it to whatever level that they can.
So you think that even though the barriers to entry might be higher to a lot of sports because, as you were just saying, price and a lot of the additional pressure that comes from that, that the on-field experience, so to speak, for the actual athlete hasn't really changed that much, that it's still just a lot of fun to be out there playing?
I like to think that it hasn't completely changed, but I do need to be realistic in that, you know, even at the high school level, depending on where you're at, it has gotten incredibly serious. You know, I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction here, but I think it adds context to the conversation, in that as a coach working with athletes for a long time, I have found it that some coaches feel it's a competition of one sport versus another. And what I mean by that is there is a lot of pressure, especially when an athlete reaches the ages between 14 and 16. It seems like that's a pretty natural precipice, if you will, and that there's a lot of pressure to become a single sport athlete. Data would support that that's not the best decision. You see a lot of repetitive stress injuries. You see a lot of burnout. You see a lot of attrition as a result of that. Personally, I'm a fan of my athletes participating in as many sports as possible. It creates a more well-rounded athlete. It creates a stronger, healthier athlete. And it also creates an athlete who really, I mean, they're doing the things that they love. So when they show up to ski or play soccer or row or whatever it might be, they're there because it's what they want to do. It's not because of all of the outside pressure. Now, that's not to say there isn't pressure there. It's that they are so well adapted and so well rounded that they're used to the additional pressure and they're able to manage it better. And I think that beyond that, those athletes tend to be able to manage stress, manage multiple tasks at once. They are, the simplest point, they're better managers. They know how to work with their time. They know how to work with people. They know how to communicate, and they can do so in a much more diligent and effective manner.
You've obviously got the sports background. Mm-hmm. What's your background in data or in quantifying things that you were able to marry with that sports background to arrive at Athlete Progress?
So I was really fortunate to work, and this is going back to the early 10s, if you will, 2012, 2013. My first real exposure to data was working with an organization called the National Charter Schools Institute out of Central Michigan University. They're still around and they're doing some really, really neat stuff with the standardized test scores for students. The platform that they were contributing to the development of, it was an interesting situation where there was a for-profit and a nonprofit that were very closely related. The for-profit entity was building a piece of software that would consume all of the standardized test scores from a school district or multiple districts, run them against a really incredible algorithm, and it would then output data in terms of effect that would help administrators understand where a class of students, where a cohort of students, where an entire student body was headed in terms of their growth and achievement. And while I'm not a huge fan of standardized test taking, I think we've gone way too far in the educational environment. Data does help to tell a story. And so my passion in sports, my background in sports, that kind of started this interest of, okay, can I do this in sport? You know, from there we had products like MapMyFitness, MapMyRun, MapMyRide. I think those were some of the first tools that I used going way back, where I would turn the application on my smartphone and go out for a skate on the trail or jump on the bike. And I could start getting some basic quantitative data in terms of my performance. You know, so that made me even more hungry in terms of how can we take this to a level that really benefits athletes in the most simplified manner? Because the reality is all of those platforms are great. At the high level, we have Training Peaks. And at the low level, at the more consumer level, if you will, you have your MapMyRide, Strava, etc. They all provide valuable enough data for us to consume the product and in some cases pay for them. But when you look at it from a general student's perspective, they may not get it. It may not make sense. And so our approach is keep it simple, stupid. I was very fortunate to have a fantastic teacher in high school who I'm lucky to stay in touch with today. And the first day I walked into his classroom, on the marker board was KISS. And we kind of sat there, looked at the board going, okay, this guy's kind of crazy. What's going on here? And it was probably one of the most profound lessons of, you know, my high school education, if you will, and that I very clearly remember that to this day. And it was keep it simple, stupid. You know, don't overcomplicate things. And I think with the amount of data that we can capture and track in any situation, it's easy to look at that data and go, oh, cool, we can add another metric. We can add, you know, another bell, another whistle. And for us, and providing data to kids, it's, hey, this is very black and white. If you do this, you can reasonably expect this. Nothing more, nothing less. Sure, we can get into, you know, eventually capturing heart rate monitoring data and other sensor data from the body, but at the end of the day, the only reason or way we're going to do that is if we're really, really focused on helping the kid achieve more. And kids aren't rocket scientists yet. Let's let them get there. Let's get them hungry for data, but let's not overwhelm them with it.
So let's take, say, a baseball player. Mm-hmm. How are you going to capture the data? What's that going to look like? And what's it going to look like when you present it to the player?
Yeah, so this is where we really differ, right? Because there's a lot of standard data out there that we have no business being in. I'm not going to tell a baseball player what their at-bat percentage is. I'm not going to tell them, you know, how many RBIs they got the last game, how many home runs or whatever. There's plenty of that data out there. That's not important to us because our bread and butter is what is it that they're doing that's helping them perform? And then when they're training, what does that look like? Visually, 60% of the population is a visual learner. And so leveraging our video, capturing repeated at-bats, repeated groundings of a ball, catches, you know, throws, the things that actually matter, because the RBIs and the at-bat percentage, while it is valuable data, it doesn't tell the real story, right? Where we're focused is on every part of the game that came up to that point that allowed that batter to bat 1,000 in that game. Mm-hmm. And that is, what are they doing to perform better? And helping them understand what they do that helps them perform better. So capturing video of them at multiple at-bats. What are they doing with their eyes? What are they doing with their body? How are they swinging the bat? Those are the things that matter. That's what gets that athlete to become a professional athlete.
It's not about the at-bat percentage or the RBIs. That's what interests you is you're dropping your elbow, and if you keep your elbow up, then it's going to improve your swing, and then Absolutely. Your at-bat percentage Yep. and RBIs are going to go up.
Yep.
And are all of these data points that you're evaluating, are these things that you identified yourself, or did you talk to other people in sports? Because you're covering, now you're covering five different sports. I don't know if you've played all of them.
Yep.
Or if you're an expert enough to know what the evaluative points should be in each of those. So are you getting input from people who are even more expert in those sports than you?
Yeah, my job is building product. My job isn't to define what the KPIs are per sport. And so I'm going out, I'm interviewing coaches, I'm talking with athletes, I'm talking with parents, and I'm basically asking them, what can we do to help you be better? You know, in the vein of what we're building, how are you working with video? If you did this, you know, how would that work out for you? A lot of if this, then that, a lot of testing. And through that, we can ultimately build the best product, because assumption gets us nowhere. Much like the data that we're trying to provide to the athletes that are using the platform, we also have very basic KPIs, if you will, that help us understand if we're ready to engage a certain market yet. We're just starting into baseball. We're just starting into a lot of the team sports. The reason for that was our video capture tool. We spent a lot of time understanding what others are doing, and we realized that capturing video for team sports is really tough. And so what we did was we provided the ability for a coach, a parent, an athlete, whoever, to upload video on behalf of a team. And then that video can be tagged to one or many athletes. So instead of uploading a video multiple times and or cutting it a boatload of times in 10 different directions, we take that original video, we can tag it to each of the kids and talk to them individually about what's happening for them in that video. And so we just launched that feature this past winter. We've been testing it. It's been really, really successful. And then we're also doing some other real-time video capture stuff, because the value of video is ultimately determined by how fast we can deliver it to the athlete. And so we have some immediate capture tools that allow us to essentially get the video to the athlete the second it's saved. So we can capture it on an iPad or a video camera, whatever. The video cameras can be a little bit limiting because we do have to have a secondary upload to the application. But in the case of tablets or mobile devices, the second we hit save, the athlete's getting a notification that a video is ready for them.
So could this actually be used for in-game analysis? Like, let's take a look at your last at-bat so you can fix things for your next one?
Absolutely.
Have there been any big success stories from athlete progress? Like, this athlete was performing at this level, and then we gave them some feedback, and now they won a gold medal.
So we're working on those substantive stories. And, I mean, what I can say is, you know, last summer we had an awesome pilot with a ski club in New Zealand, which was a really fun challenge for us, given the fact that they're technically a day ahead. We set them up on the platform. It really validated for us that we had built a platform that can stand on its own, one. But two, we never expected how much they would use it. And it was a great validation in that over the range of about 85 days, they uploaded just shy of 1,000 videos. Each video averaged about 28 seconds in length. But where we really were blown away was how many times those videos got watched. What we found was those videos were being watched 40 and 50 times. And so the way that we have the athlete profile set up, we make it super easy for the kids to be able to review their content. We're all used to Facebook at this point in time. So we have a very similar timeline in terms of how we present video. So the video is presented with the skill that the athlete was working on, how they were scored on their execution on a C minus to A plus scale. So we break it down in 5 points. So C minus, C, B, A, A plus. C minus and A plus being the outliers of, hey, you probably weren't really focusing on that run or that effort. That was a C minus. Or holy smokes, that was the best I've ever seen you execute that skill. A plus, breakthrough, congrats. So we capture that. Again, we capture the skill, and then we capture the environmental factors. So if we're on the baseball field, is it sunny? Is it overcast? Is it windy? Is it calm? Is it cold? Is it warm? All of those things that could impact an athlete's performance. I know for me, if I'm on my bike, I perform better when it's about 70 degrees out, as I think a lot of guys do. If I'm skiing, because I grew up in the Midwest, I perform better when I look down and see my reflection in the surface I'm standing on, which we don't see that often in Colorado. Our ice here is not Midwest ice. we all have those areas, and a lot of it is because of the environment that we were trained in and raised in. But again, going back to our athlete performance dashboard, we can see where an athlete is strong and where they're weak. And when they can see that, now they can understand why we want to expose them to different experiences. Going back to baseball, you know, one of the variables is batting against a right-handed or a left-handed pitcher. The ball comes at you differently. Maybe playing a different position, shortstop versus second base. You're standing in completely different spots in the field. You know, there's so many factors that, you know, with the platform we can track. So, yeah.
What's your favorite part in all of this?
The unknown. My life goal is to have a significant impact on athletic performance. I was very lucky to have excellent coaches when I was a young kid. not everybody has that opportunity. And it's not to say that coaches aren't great, because I'm around a lot of coaches and they're all incredibly passionate. They love what they do, but they don't always have the greatest tool set to work with. And so that's, you know, one of the things that I want to provide to them is take that passion, provide the tool set so that we can help every athlete achieve the level of success that they're ultimately going to achieve. That's not to say that we can make every athlete a professional athlete. I wish that was the case, but the numbers are against us. But it is to say that we can help every athlete achieve so much to the extent that it impacts their confidence. It impacts their performance outside of the athletic realm. Nothing, you know, warms my heart more than to hear from a parent saying, "Hey, my child is coming home happier from school. They're doing better in school because of the confidence that they've gained on the field of play."
So you're seeing payoffs from this program, even just outside of the actual sport?
Absolutely.
Do you have any plans to expand into hockey?
One sport at a time.
I just asked because I know a mediocre middle-aged beer league goalie who could use some feedback.
I think we can set that up. You know, we're trying to be really careful in terms of how fast we grow into different sports. It's the common startup failure of trying to do too much at once. I've done that before and I'm not going to do it again. I would rather athlete progress become a lifestyle business and do a great job for a limited number of athletes than for us to just try and grow too fast. You know, in the last 18 months, we've looked at taking investment. I've raised venture capital in the past with a past company, and it's we're not there right now. It took going through the process to realize that, but we need to be really disciplined. We've got a small team. I'm really lucky to have a great co-founder who, crazy enough, I met by way of Craigslist. So if there's any Boulder founders out there looking for a great technical co-founder in my case, you can't have success on Craigslist. It's a fun story. But we've got a small team in terms of, you know, the sales side of things where we are ready to grow. We've got a fantastic female skier out of Park City that's doing a fantastic job helping us grow. We've got a gentleman who has coached Division I baseball at a pretty high level. And then we're looking at, you know, a number of different sports. Carrie, my technical co-founder, his daughter is a soccer player. She's just absolutely crushing it. So we're going with what we know right now, and we're slowly but surely growing out from there.
And how does Athlete Progress, do you see it being a solid member of the Front Range startup community, is Startup Week more just like a place to come get consulting gigs so you can support Athlete Progress?
You know, I would really love to have Athlete Progress become one of those known brands that really gives back in the Front Range. You know, the Give Back Pledge, while we haven't formally signed up for it, is something that I think is absolutely appropriate, especially given the resources in the community. So as we're getting to that point of being revenue positive, that is a priority for me. You know, and in the next 5 years, I would love to see us be, you know, one of those known brands that's really supporting Boulder Startup Week, as well as the broader startup community, both in Boulder and Denver.
Anything else that you'd like to add? Anything that I missed?
I don't think so. I think we covered quite a bit. So thank you.
Thank you. Joe Minock, Athlete Progress. That was Joe Minock, founder of Athlete Progress. Learn more at athleteprogress.com and follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Minock. That's M-I-N-O-C-K. Episode number 41 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week relationship track sponsor, Glue. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week platinum sponsors, Honey, Matter, and Zayo. We're also supported by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.